Why do we praise our God? Is the title of this morning's devotion. Psalm 145 is called an acrostic psalm. It begins with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So each verse begins with one of the alphabet all the way through all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. This psalm is the last psalm that is attributed to David, and it has the most fitting theme. What is that? It is the praise of God. It is a good summary of life with God. It begins with praise and ends with praise. Indeed, He is our great God. It's the first thought for our meditation from verses 1 to 13. We are told in verse 1 that God is king of the psalmist's life, his best master. He serves him and blesses his name, and he does so every day. So our text tells us in verse 1 and 2, I will extol thee, O Lord, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Here, he tells us that God is most worthy of his praise because there has been a relationship that David, the psalmist, has with God that is so effectual in his life that he praises God for all the happenings that comes upon his life. The mighty deeds of our Heavenly Father were tokens of his love toward his children. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Do you have a testimony to share this first half of the year? We are now at the midpoint of the year. Right? Our camp is usually conducted mid-year. A time to take stock, a time to make a reflection, a time to think, plan, pray, seek the Lord's will, that the next half of the year with the Lord may be better. Verse 6 tells us, men shall speak of thy mighty works to the unbelievers and the scorners. The acts of God are terrible acts. They could not see the God's goodness manifested in their life. But for the psalmist, he tells us that the good pleasure of God blessing his children is so much a part of life with God. Isn't it so? We thank the Lord that He guides us, He's with us, He blesses us, He helps us day by day. So the psalmist cannot but declare the greatness of his God. The psalmist experienced God's answer to prayer again and again. Have you had many difficulties in life, many great impasses, and how you have sought the Lord, and how the Lord has heard your prayer, and how the Lord has blessed you with His presence, with His comfort? Those times when we were in distress, how the Lord sent deliverance. Remember the time when God sent 10 plagues throughout the land of Egypt to free the Israelites from the bondage of slavery. The magicians says they saw the finger of God. But for Pharaoh, he became more and more rebellious. These are terrible acts to those who do not know God. But every generation of his people who experiences him afresh, experiences his mercies, God with them. How praiseworthy is he? And the Lord wants us to know that he is great because he's attested by his works, by what he demonstrated on our behalf in answer to prayer according to his will. But it's also attested by his goodness. Verse 7 to 13, we are told, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord's greatness is attested by his works and attested by his compassion. We thank the Lord that we have him as our Lord, as our Master, who leads us, who guides us, and we know him and we follow him. He's a personal God who knows and feels the burdens of his people and is working to help them in their time of suffering and trouble. He's a personal, loving God. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. All thy saints shall praise thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. What did God do to manifest his love to us? That's the root word for the word compassion. Well, it is his reaching out, drawing nigh to us to save us and then to sustain us with his wisdom through his word. And as we get to know him more and more, we become a witness for him. You know, we tell other people concerning who he is. Verse 12 says, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, that we too may experience his compassion and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion throughout all generations. When we become witnesses for God, well, the world doesn't really like us, isn't it? When you read the Beatitudes, the Lord Jesus says, after you have done all these things, you would suffer persecution. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that we bow down. Are you bowed down because you have tried to witness to someone and got scolded? And they tell you, don't tell me about God. Well, the Lord is with you to comfort you. He is our ready helper. Verses 14 to 21. Verse 14 says, for the afflicted, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that be bound down. When we are afflicted, we, in our pain, struggle for help. And here we see how the Lord reaches out to us. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. The afflicted, he helps. And the seeker, all who come to him, the eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Not only does He take care of us, we are the most precious of all His creation, especially the saints. You are most precious because He has chosen you from the foundation of the world to accomplish His great purpose of redemption. And the Lord also tells us that He takes care of not only His people, but the world around Him is sustained by His glorious goodness. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. We have been studying the wild ass, the wild ox, the goat, the birds in the air, how God feeds them in such marvelous way. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. There is a way by which God approaches us, by His character that is righteous and that is holy. And so for those who seek Him, He satisfies them. Even those who do not seek Him, He satisfied them until they realized, suddenly it dawned upon them that it is indeed, we are sustained by our God in Christ. What a revelation that God gives us. No wonder the people of God who has experienced the benefits of God rejoice to praise Him. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Now this is what we want to think about here. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. If you are willing to follow Him, you would be that devoted follower of the Lord. He would certainly lead and guide you, because that is indeed the purpose for your creation, for your coming into being in this world. So He says to us here, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. In other words, when you call upon Him, He is there for you. He is near you. That's the meaning. And the phrase there, that particular verse begins with the word nearness. Nearness of God to His people. Do you realize that? We need to meditate upon the nearness of God to us, so that we will not feel that we are alone in our troubles, in our struggles, that we will not be plagued with sudden fear, but that we would be filled with faith. And so the Lord says that we are to, that He is nigh to them, to all that call upon Him in truth. In truth. So we can't simply be going about living our own life, doing what we want, and then in our moment of desperation we come to Him, say, God, endorse my waywardness. That's not how it should be. So we come to God in truth, because God has a way by which our life is made well and beautiful in His sight. And He wants us to understand that. So He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. So if you know the truth of God, which we have been speaking about, to meditate upon the Word of God and spend time to know His will, right, His truth,
how perfect it is, how good it is. And here we are told that he would fulfill our desires. How wonderful it is that God fulfills our desires. Desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. All who fear God, who loved him in truth. So that is why we set up this camp to gather the people of God mid-year, so that you make effort, take effort to be assembled, to be away from distractions, and to be quiet before God, and to learn his truth, and to nurture his fear in your life, so that your life would be a life of great thanksgiving to God because of who he is and who he is to you, and how you would renew that love for him. The Lord preserveth all them that loved him. Well, I believe because you loved him, that is why you make an effort to come and study the Word of God. Take leave. Make an effort to set aside time because we love the Lord. Remember, we said that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. This is where the Word of God is declared, not outside. Therefore, we are to be oriented with the purposes of God, with the will of God, for his blessings. And so the Lord instructed us his ways, the good way, and we are to follow what he has for us. And so the Lord is a ready helper for the seeker, the afflicted, the seeker, the God-fearer, for the devoted follower. Indeed, God has a good plan for his people. They will not be forsaken, but they will follow him. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which giveth them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. The psalmist testifies to us why he praises his God. He testifies who God is to him and how he only is his true helper. May we too call upon him who are troubled and heavy laden. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit and guide us to praise thee this new day for thy own honor and glory. Strengthen thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.